Well, we're really happy this morning to have with us right now Michael Makeda and Jeffrey Chips. And before you think we're mistaken here, Steel City Shakespeare does perform work by people beyond Shakespeare, because immediately the thought would be, wait a minute, I didn't think that Shakespeare wrote A Christmas Carol. That was Charles Dickens.
It was.
But Steel City Shakespeare creates other kinds of stage productions too.
Of course,
and
yeah.
It's nice to have both of you here today. Let's talk
Thank
a little
you.
Bit about the organization before we talk about the play.
Yeah, so... So hi, I'm Jeffrey Chips. I am the artistic director, and I'm here with Michael, the director of audience development. And so we are Steel City Shakespeare Center, and this December we'll be performing what will be our fifth production in our brief history, going back to the days of yore of 2014. So yeah, this will be actually our second staging of A Christmas Carol. And... I don't know, what do we want to say?
Well, asking about the group in general,
yes.
we're rolling out our new logo. We had one that was a workable one before, and our new artistic
marketing director,
Darcy Mahaffey, came up with this wonderful logo that is a combination of sort of a faceless Shakespeare, which was meant to show that anyone can put their face in there and you know, relate to this, but she also put a bridge in to represent the Steel City and, you know, the city of Pittsburgh. And we like the idea of building bridges with this. We are really about engaging and inspiring communities. So when we go into non-Shakespeare things like we recently did Pride and Prejudice, and now we're doing this, it's because there's a bigger message that we think people mm-hmm. can relate to. And that's what's really exciting about theater, is making it connect with people on a personal level.
Now, there are lots of theater companies in the Pittsburgh area, and not that I want to put you in competition with others, but how are you? I think you are a little different in your approach.
I like to think so.
maybe you can explain a little bit some of the things that make you unique. For one, you're
sure.
in a number of different venues.
Yeah, yeah. And this has kind of become our staple, though. Our last production of Pride and Prejudice we did in one location at Heathside Cottage, which we'll be returning to for one performance this time. We really are very focused on kind of the three main pillars of our kind of performance styles. We want to make sure that we're intimate, we're fast-paced, and interactive. And we want to be able to get into kind of more non-traditional venues, something like a Heathside Cottage or will be in the Millville Community Library, places you wouldn't think you would go to see a theater performance. And you know, we don't bring in a lot of frills. It's not about lugging in a big set or a lighting system. It's about just kind of bringing actors in and finding a space where we can all kind of come together and share this story and be in the same space and just directly interact with the people there. And we found that that's where the message that we're trying to bring about, engaging, inspiring communities and just bringing people together and sharing in these common experiences, that's where we found to have the most impact.
Yeah. So in television, they would say you're breaking the fourth wall.
Right, right.
Very much. Yeah, we don't get up on stage. I prefer not to be on a stage. I want to be mm-hmm. right there with the people that I'm entertaining.
Yeah, and I was immediately thinking, so no lighting beyond what people might need to see you, and no set. So it really is pretty much creating something out of what's in hand in particular venue
mm-hmm.
you're in. What about the interactive parts? So if I'm attending, mm-hmm. I'm sure if I want to be a wallflower, I can be, but
sure,
how
yeah.
do you interact?
And that's kind of the beauty of Shakespeare's. You know, when Shakespeare was performing, there was no such thing as a fourth wall. That became more of a thing in the 19th century, and actually even more when film became much more popular, and that there was the sense of like you're kind of sitting in a box and being more of a passive auditor, audience member. Shakespeare in particular is made for interaction, and so. When I'm struggling to find a, you know, a character in Shakespeare who's asking a question. But maybe a great line is, you know, when Hamlet's sitting there and he says, "Now I am alone." Like, what a joke that is, because he's surrounded by a thousand people who are all in on this joke. And so, you know, now we're doing Dickens, so we're finding these opportunities to interact, and it's a lot of fun. And Dickens is, in his narration of this story, is highly interactive and you know, having inside jokes with his audience that we keep, like, we'll find a moment in rehearsal and go, what is he talking about? We'll look it up and be like, that's great. You know, or there's a line that describing the Ghost of Christmas Past and says, you know, standing as close to Scrooge as I am now to you, and I am at your elbow, you know? So there's even this sense of interaction that, you know, that we find throughout literature and drama that, you know, we want to make sure we're bringing back and you know, not that we're trying to, like, I don't know, invade people's space or anything, but, you know, there is an aspect of being vulnerable and being in the moment with the people who are performing with you, and that it's not just about us doing all of the work and people who come are being passive, but excuse me, they're really encouraged to be just as much a part of creating the full experience.
Giving people the feeling that we're in this together.
Yeah.
You're not watching us do this. We're just speaking for all of you. And we get a lot of head nods during the show, mm-hmm. and some funny moments. There's a point where Scrooge asks his nephew, "Why did you get married?" And, you know, Scrooge has been complaining about Christmas. And the nephew says, "Well, because I fell in love." And Scrooge says, "Oh, as if that falling in love, the one thing more silly than a Merry Christmas." And I always try to make eye contact with two or three people when I say that. And it's funny, the reactions. People joke and elbow one another, and, you know, couples giggle at that. And
now you're Scrooge.
Yes. I finally reached the age where I'm old enough to play Scrooge, and I'm very happy about that.
It is amazing how that story stands the test of time.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Have you updated the text or subjected it to the folk process at all?
I think quite the opposite.
Yeah.
So many versions of it have been done on stage and on film, you know, that I think it's almost become a caricature of the original. Mm. You know, the Muppets did a brilliant version of it, but, you know, come on, Fozziwig.
They did. Though they do keep a lot of the text intact.
The Marley brothers, you know, in addition to Jacob Marley, the other is Robert. Okay, so we've got Bob Marley in there.
And the Wailers.
Yeah, and, you know, there was a version with Bill Murray years ago, and it's become so commonplace that I think a lot of the really cool things that Dickens did got lost. Mm-hmm. And so we went back. Jeffrey actually started it. We went back to the original text and said, let's keep as much of the Dickens narration voice as we can. And, of course, there are a few things that for language reasons we had to clarify and shorten. But there are scenes in our version that often aren't seen in other versions.
And it's I tell people this version is 99% Dickens and 1% Michael and I. And I'm always, like, really pleased when I go, could you tell what we wrote and what Dickens wrote? And people go, no. Oh, good. I mean, I don't think that I'm anything close to, you know, but, you know, there's a little bit. We've altered the ending, which actually I think is an ending that more people are familiar with than the actual ending that Dickens wrote. We've just to kind of bring some things together and introduce characters earlier, we've kind of inserted a few things. But by and large, this is mostly Dickens language, and we've just kind of removed elements of what would make it a novel into what would turn it into a stage performance and kept as much of this as we could.
Jeffrey Chips and Michael Makeda are here from Steel City Shakespeare. And let's give you a chance to hear a scene from the play. And as you're listening, you might want to get ready to jot down. It's going to be running December 15th. Through the 17th at three different venues, and we'll let you know what those are in a second. Do you need to set up the scene?
Oh, sure, so what I didn't mention before is this version of Christmas Carol is performed with a cast of four. So we have half of the cast here. The other two are Jessica Schurmeister and Tanya Lynn. Jess and Tanya and I kind of rotate a number of different roles, and Michael pretty much is Scrooge throughout. He also plays Fezziwig. And so we kind of go into this, what we've called it is a, you'll like this, Larry, a staged radio drama. But to kind of explain the scene that we're about to do, so this is the scene with Marley's ghost. And so I'll be playing Jacob Marley, and Michael will be playing Scrooge. And so we've kind of set this up as that Scrooge has finished his day in the office, has gone home. He's seen Marley's face in his door knocker. It really disturbed him. And so he's gone through his house and is kind of very kind of upset and a little paranoid of, you know, what he's experiencing.
We should explain Marley has been dead for 7 years.
For 7 years. 7 years ago this very night. And so now the ghost of Marley has entered the room that Scrooge is in. And this is the interaction that they have.
How now? What do you want with me?
Much.
Marley's voice, no doubt about it. Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Who were you then? Ooh, you're particular for a shade.
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Can you sit down?
I can.
Do it then.
The ghost sat down on the opposite side of the fireplace, as if he were quite used to it. You don't believe in me.
I don't.
What evidence would you have of my reality beyond that of your senses?
I don't know.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are.
At this, the spirit raised a frightful cry and shook its chain with such a dismal and appalling noise that Scrooge held on tight to his chair to save himself from falling in a swoon.
Mercy, dreadful apparition, why do you trouble me?
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do, I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to travel through the world. Oh, woe is me! And witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth and turned to happiness. Ah!
You are fettered. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was as full, as heavy, as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain.
Scrooge glanced about him on the floor in the expectation of finding himself surrounded by some 50 or 60 fathoms of iron cable, but he could see nothing. Jacob, old Jacob Marley, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give. It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all permitted to me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house.
7 years dead and traveling all the time.
The whole time. No rest. No peace. Incessant torture of remorse.
You travel fast?
On the wings of the wind.
You might have gone over a great quantity of ground in 7 years.
Oh, captive bound and double ironed, not to know the ages of incessant labor by immortal creatures, not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunity misused. Yet such was I. Oh, such was I.
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. At this time of the rolling year, I suffer most. Why did I walk through crowds of my fellow beings with my eyes turned down? Hear me.
My time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard upon me. Don't be flowery, Jacob, pray.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. A chance and hope of my procuring Ebenezer.
Oh, you were always a good friend to me, Jacob. Thank ye.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tonight when the bell tolls one. Expect the second when the bell tolls two, the third when the bell tolls three, and look that for your own sake you will remember what has passed between us.
Wow, there you've got Michael Makeda and Jeffrey Chips. I do hear a difference as I listen to that. Just a different feeling and flavor to it. It's like reading a book. That in a good way, because the character of Scrooge just sounds much more authentic as to the way the character was actually written. And not to say that Jacob doesn't sound...
Thank you.
Everybody sounds great. Now, there are three different, distinctively different venues.
Mm-hmm. Very
and
much,
yeah. Why don't you describe them, and we'll note their dates, too.
Yes.
The play is December 15th, 16th, and 17th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And Thursday, the 15th, where will that be?
That will be at Heathside Cottage in the neighborhood of Fineview. Heathside Cottage has been one of our staple venues for the past year. We actually did Christmas Carol there last year. And every show we've done since, we've done at least one or two performances there. And this is a historic home built in 1855 and is on the National Historic Register, owned by our dear friend and just wonderful patron and supporter, Greg Manley. And it's just this beautiful venue for a story like this, very intimate and just a great neighborhood. And as you're sitting in this house, you're looking over the Pittsburgh skyline.
Imagine doing a Victorian story in a Victorian home. It's wonderful atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we move from room to room, so the audience kind of has to get up and follow us.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, the 16th, where will the play be?
It will be at Artisan Cafe in Garfield on Penn Avenue. This is the first time we've ventured into really this whole end of town, so we're really excited to meet this audience and get to interact with them. And I'm really happy that they were eager to do this. And I talked to Tyler, the manager there, who was just really excited to have us. They'll be closing the cafe down at, I think it's 6 or 7 that night, and we'll get in and get your tickets. And it's a really fun little intimate space. They have a tattoo parlor upstairs, so if anybody wants to see Dickens and get a tattoo, I'm sure that can be arranged. And it's just a really neat little neighborhood there that I'm still kind of exploring a bit.
And then the final production for this run is going to be on Saturday, a week from today, or actually two weeks from today, on the 17th. And where will that would be?
That will be at the Millvale Community Library, Grant Avenue in Millvale. We did two performances in Much Ado About Nothing there. We did it actually in the back, and they have a little lawn in the back, so we'll be in the proper library. They'll be clearing some space for us in the morning, so it'll be at 11 o'clock a.m. And I should mention also that they are adjacent to a fellow New Sun Rising project, Tupelo Honey Teas. It was just opened in the last 2 weeks by Danielle Spinola, and so she will have some festive teas available for the occasion. So definitely take advantage of that and just enjoy this really lovely little library.
The library is a fun place, yeah, and we meet a lot of wonderful people there.
Yes.
We've linked to Steel City Shakespeare's website from slbradio.org, or if you Google Steel City Shakespeare, you'll be able to get to their website. Anything else you'd like to mention? It's terrific to know that you're doing this. It all starts December 15th. Running through the 17th.
Just to
pound home a thought there, that scene that we did, to me, that's the whole story is right there in the words of Jacob Marley. You know, when Scrooge says to him, well, you were a good man of business. You know, he wasn't nice to anyone else. He didn't do anything else. And the one positive thing Scrooge could say was, you were a good man of business. And Marley, are you kidding? Mankind was my business. You know, our business should be to worry about each other. And we think those are important words, especially now for people to remember and think about. And so, and you know, this is a very secular story, even though it takes place at Christmas. Jeff pointed out, you know, that Scrooge could have been visited by three angels, but Dickens decided to write them as spirits.
Yeah.
And I don't quite know the distinction, but Marley's a ghost and these three are spirits. But
Could have been three dreams.
And it's a time travel story, too. I mean, he goes back. He goes, you know, before science fiction here, Dickens was writing a time travel story. There's so many interesting things going on there. But that's sort of become a catchphrase for us now, is that mankind is our business.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I just to drive that point home is just, you know, it's we've seen in the last, you know, month or two, like just kind of these divisions that have just, I guess, have been there and just have become more apparent. And, you know, anything we can do to just make sure, you know, anyone is welcome to come to our shows, and there's no prerequisite of, you know, you have to look a certain way or hold a certain set of values. Like, this is about, we're going to come together and we're going to share this story and you know, come away hopefully feeling better about life and about, you know, people and mankind in general, and that, you know, we can share in these things together and find things in common and move forward and build. And you know, that's, I really want to make sure that I'm saying that enough, because, you know, we feel very strongly that this is what we need to be doing in our community.
And to that end, even we've never turned anyone away for inability to pay. If a person is down on their luck, we would rather have them share the moment with us than have their money. And we had a great moment in Millville last time where a fellow in the neighborhood was encouraged to drop by, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out a few coins and gave it to me and said, "That's all I have." And it was about 35 cents.
Well,
and I said to him, "Nobody can give you more than all they have."
Yeah,
you know, I was touched to get that from him.
Look for Steel City Shakespeare in their production of A Christmas Carol.